you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Money Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry. So, back to this bitch. I have so much to say with her big old black friend from We're Here. What's up? What's good, Layla McQueen?
Yeah, what did we say? What did you make up that we said?
Ladies and gentlemen, on Sibling Watchery, we have the pleasure, the astute pleasure of having the very fabulous Layla McQueen in the house. Hey, girl.
Hey, hello, Mona Exchange.
Monetary exchange.
I'm happy to be here. Very excited.
I'm very happy you're here. I will say, I came into this call, Layla. So in my mind, you're like on like a chaise chair with this yellow fur draped over you. Your lips are freshly pumped, and you're just living your life as a kept woman.
We are going to continue that fantasy and not let someone know that I'm sitting in a creaky chair sweating in my apartment with no sunlight.
You know, Layla, before we start, I want to officially apologize to you because if y'all don't know, Layla McQueen was recently on Sibling Rivalry and I'm not supposed to be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. At the request of Bob the Drag Queen, her camera was disabled. So there is no footage of Layla on the podcast. It's just a picture we had to put in post because Bob asked to put her camera off. And you didn't know that. I want to be honest with you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. No, it's cool. No, it's fine. Yeah. No, upset by it.
We had the technical difficulties, and Layla's image was not on the camera, but listen, Layla is a very good friend of Bob.
That is what happened to me on Drag Race Season 8. I was there for like 6 episodes, but the cameras just conveniently were not working when they were on me. Can you believe? Growing pains.
Shall we jump right on in, Layla?
Let's do this shit, bitch.
The things that I'm noting from the fallout, Ella says to Vanity, I think, she goes, I've never seen someone so proud to be so fugly. I was like, bitch, you are one to talk. Now, no shade, I like Ella, but Ella is not, I will say, one of the most glamorous or most pretty or beautiful contestants. I was like, not her trying to shade someone for being ugly. I'm like, bitch, look in the mirror, ho.
Girl, she's a brick. Brick and grout. Girl, she is.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Off the bat, Layla coming in hot.
That is so rude. That's so rude. Rosé and Tina Burner are Brick and Grout. Ella's just Brick.
This is true. Yeah, Ella's just Rick. I like Ella, but something about the fallout in new season, I feel like in older seasons, yes, at the top of the episode, is always like a little bit of shade, especially season 8 when they came back from the paint drip from the neon runway and Bob and Derek had that iconic fight about memorable drag, whatever. But I think people just really wanted to sound off in the fallout and just really try to hurt bitches' feelings. And I'm like, guys, we can be friends and still throw like fun shade.
Well, it's wild to me that, like, especially UK, because you know how Brits are, where they love to be, like, the most sarcastic, rude people, but also the most apologetic people?
Yes, yes.
So, like, the episodes are always, like, so overly pointed, and then, like, but I just love you, babes. I'm so happy you're here. I knew this would be the top four I envisioned.
That being said, no shade, y'all. I'm not trying to shade Vanity, but I am a little gagged that Vanity is in the top four. No shade. Vanity is doing a decent job, but the fact that Vanity is the top four, I'm like a little like, wow, I did not anticipate this, but good for you.
Good for her. I didn't either. Good for her. She really got on up there. It does gag me that, like, Kitty finally won, and she's happy she won. I'm happy she won. I thought she should have won a couple challenges that she didn't, but that's just me. But then Ella is like, so like, oh God, Kitty won't shut up about a badge. Now she gets to pick the teams. Oh, she just won't shut up. I'm like, bitch, the fuck? The MO of Drag Race UK is for y'all to get a badge and not shut the fuck up about it. Every episode, they're like, yeah, so we all got them, but you don't. Every season, every episode, they go, okay, guys, let's do a recap. I still have one badge. You still have two. Oh, you still have zero. Like, none. Every episode.
Yeah, they haven't stopped giving shitty kit about shitty kit. They haven't stopped giving Kitty shit about not having a badge. And now that she has one, she's celebrating it. They're like, all right, enough. I'm like, y'all have gone out of your way to let her know. Oh, yeah, bitch, and you don't have one. So, yeah, I'm a celebrate hoe.
Exclusively every episode.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah, for sure. And also, a little fact, Crystal Versace is the youngest person in Drag Race history to make the top four.
That's a gag. Good for her. For the first time in Drag Race history.
T. All right, then that's enough for the fallout. Then we come in the next day, and we find there wasn't a mini challenge, which I personally like the mini challenges. I don't think they're necessarily there to add the most whatever, but they just give the episodes more substance. They don't do them oftentimes in All Stars. A lot of people don't like them. I like the mini challenge. Did you like mini challenges on season 8? I know you only had like 2 of them.
Drag me.
I didn't mean that in a shady way. I didn't mean that shadily.
Drag me.
I didn't mean that shady. Oh my God.
I enjoy the mini challenges because usually they add some sort of like levity and like have a lot of like. I feel like a lot of memorable things come from mini challenges also, like, and also very memeable things. So I do appreciate a mini challenge, but. You know, the season was filmed in 30 minutes, I heard, so that's why we're cutting all mini challenges.
Girl, I know, this 10 days, and last week we had Lawrence Chaney, who's, though she was not on this season, Lawrence Chaney is the UK, and she kind of, you know, she has a little more insight to how they operate Drag Race, and she confirmed also, there's no way it was filmed in 10 days. It's impossible for Drag Race to film in 10 days. Also, now we're, spoiler alert if you didn't watch the whole episode, but bitch, they have spent episodes not sending bitches home, like, they clearly did not film the fucking show in 10 days. So if you are listening to this and you still think Drag Race UK season 3 was filmed in 10 days, you're a fucking idiot. It was not. There's no way.
Not you outing Lawrence's NDA with World of Wonder. Yeah, she was on the show. She told me everything. Also, not to get ahead of myself, but also this episode, next week's preview is not the final episode. There's still another episode before the finale.
Girl, when that fucking trailer came out for next week and it was like a regular episode, I was like, come on, Drag Race. Stop dragging this shit out. Crown Kitty Scott Claus and let's just move on. Can we please?
Wrap it up.
Girl. This challenge this week, they introduced a challenge, and it's the first acting challenge of the season. Am I right? This is the first one all season long.
Well, they had to do those, like, drag Lexa, but was that more improv? I guess that wasn't improv. They didn't, like, get a script.
It was a script. Yeah.
And then what are we considering the Peloton challenge? Like, a waist or an acting challenge, dancing challenge?
I want to say it's like a improv dancing challenge, if that's the thing.
Sure. I'll agree with you. So if my memory serves me right, this is the first scripted acting challenge.
Yeah, the first scripted one. And like, this season they haven't had like a, besides, because everyone, actually no, the Drag Lexa one's more of a branding challenge. There hasn't been like a proper improv one, so be considered acting like a Bossy Rossi or something like that. They've right. they haven't had one like this, so that's why it feels like we're so late in the season. We're like what, episode 8 now, whatever it is, and that seems really late. Normally there's one in like the first 4 episodes, so can see who the typically. You know. So this does feel very far.
They'd be switching shit up over there.
And then now for this, Kitty gets to pick the order because she won last week's challenge. And I love it. I think it's a great strategy. She's being shady. She was like, this is what I want. And I want to give everyone roles that I think they'll suck at. And I'm like, yes, play the game, bitch. That's how you play the game. And I did see online some people were upset about that. But I think she's playing the game well. What do you think?
People online, they stay upset.
Always.
I am really into this, like, this new era of Drag Race where they say, I get to pick the teams, or I get to pick the roles, audition for me. You want it?
Yeah.
Audition for it. I'm, like, really into it. And the fact that she, like,
I hate
made
it.
A little side. You hate it?
Yeah, I think, bitch, I'm not auditioning for you. I said this. If it was something like this, I would say, no, this is the role I want. And when I say audition, I'm going to say, no, bitch, you're not fucking RuPaul. I'm not auditioning for you. This is the role I want. Do I have it or not?
Oh, listen. If I was in this situation, if I was there on set, I would full-ass Candy Muse that shit and be like, I already highlighted it. It's mine.
Honestly.
I already learned the first 3 lines. It's mine. I would do that. As a viewer, I am enjoying watching them make them audition for each other.
This is true. I agree with that.
As a viewer, I'm like, oh, I don't have to deal with this? Hysterical. And the fact that she had little tiny old lady reading glasses with like a little... That was funny to me.
More reasons why I love Kitty. Also, if you're watching this wondering, wow, Monet's makeup looks weird, that's because I'm doing this thing. I am like, I'm on a break, so I'm like resetting my makeup with my powder. So that's why I look a little strange. But you know, I still look prettier than Bob, and that's a fact. Well, prettier than Bob unlike when Layla paints. When Layla paints Bob, the beauty's comparable, I would say.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, stank, stunk, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring. It was gray. It was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back...
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code RIVALRY to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
In this audition thing, Vanity is from the fucking UK. How does she not know how to do other UK accents? I feel like that's like an American not being able to do like a... Like every American pretty much can do, if not a good one, a decent kind of sort of country accent or something like that. She can't do it at all.
Oh, fully. Well, also, people in America, like when we were filming We're Here, we'd be in some of these places, like we'd be in Indiana. And they would have southern accents. I'm like, y'all, we're in Indiana. I don't understand what's going on. Y'all with the movie? Y'all the creative folks filming that movie, ain't ya? Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
The gag at the looking at y'all faggoty ass and be like, oh, yeah, they're definitely not camera people or group people. They're definitely the creative team. They're like these fags walking around fucking Wauwatosa, Indiana.
Y'all are just so creative.
Creative. Well, you know, I think it's because we're Northeasterners, and Northeasterners coming below, I think we as Northeasterners don't realize how far up the South goes. Like, in my mind, I thought the South stopped at, like, South Carolina. Bitch, people have Southern accents all the way up through, like, Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay, but I just don't think that makes them, like, the fact that Madonna had a British accent. You and Michelle are on the brink of having British accents sometimes.
Well, because I'm British, so that makes sense. I'm British girl. If you were doing this, which role would you have wanted?
Oh God, I don't know, because I'm not into this at all.
I would have wanted the baby Yoda. I would have wanted baby YOLO. And I would have played it very... I'm like, yeah, I would have spoke like Yoda. I'm like, podcast, I do not. I would have done something like that.
I do think that the baby YOLO one, it gives you more opportunity to be a little more ridiculous. I mean, you don't have your whole body, but like, I could like get into that or like the sluttier one. I'm not good at...
But that's funnier.
I'm not good at memorizing lines. So one with not a lot of lines.
Got it.
I guess YOLO didn't have a lot of lines, but still was a potential steam sealer. So I would go with the baby.
Oh yeah, bitch. I learned from All Stars 4 when Monique Hart took the role. From that like switched, that like flipped the switch for me. When Monique Hart got the role of the bitch that fell out the window, she was in the scene for like 5 seconds. And it was like a big scene. I was like, that's so smart. You make a huge impact, you're fucking funny, and then you're out of there. I like, yeah. That's the way to go.
Yeah, agreed.
Down, mama. Wait, can you do a Southern accent?
Can I do a Southern accent? I mean, besides what I just said, like, not really. Are you being prompted to ask me to do it again?
Layla's like, besides the fact I said that I fucking can't. Like, besides the fact I said I fucking can't, you hard of hearing bitch. No. Okay, heard. Layla, heard.
Yeah. check your corded headphones. Can you hear me over there?
All right, shall we go into the filming of Bra Wars? Which, I'm not going to lie, it took me a second to get it. I was like, oh, like Star Wars. Got it.
It took you a second to get it after Baby YOLO and Bra Wars, and they're in a spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
It's the delay.
Yeah,
it's
you're
the
right.
Delay.
It's the delay. Let's lay the delay. Layla, you look so cute. Your lips just look so juicy and plump, and this jewelry and this decolletage and the fur. Yes, girl.
I'm not in drag, but I had to be, like, really faggy at least, you know?
Okay, so filming Bra Wars. These acting, Drag Race acting challenges, in the moment, I can never tell, because obviously we're seeing them filming the show, so you never tell like how good or bad it's going to be. But this doesn't seem terrible. It seems fine, and they're filming it. No one, what I do notice is that no one is struggling. No one is like out, is like doing, well, okay, that's not true. Crystal struggles, but Michelle really does a good job of kind of like rein her in and helping her process it.
On that note, I am going to say this. I really love it when Michelle directs the acting challenges, or I like it when Michelle directs, because I think Michelle is still good TV and sassy and naturally funny without trying to. And I think she actually gives the girls really good advice because she wants them to do better. Sometimes I feel like when Carson and Ross are directing these challenges, they don't always help, or at least it doesn't come off that way in the final edit. Like, it does seem like they kind of just like joke with them too much and go, okay, if that's the way you want to do it. I'm like, you're like kind of setting them up for failure a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't feel that way with Michelle.
I agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment. I will say I think that ever since H&M Gate, I feel like, which was just one season ago, but there have been some drag races and other franchises before this one that the judges, or RuPaul is definitely, the judges and Ru, they're making a better effort to be more constructive in their criticisms as opposed to just saying, you're really going to do that? Okay. So
that's,
I think,
fair.
That after that, they really tried their best to help the dolls.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no one is terrible. I worry about Ella a bit. I don't like that character. And again, I know she can't help with the lines, but I think that the Darth Vader character is kind of whack. I don't find it very funny. And in these challenges, the goal is to always have the funniest bit. You want the judges to walk away and being like laughing at your bit, because then you're going to win. And I don't think hers is very funny. And everyone else has done a good job of making it funny.
I don't want to come out here acting like I'm some writer or anything, but I just don't think it was like that hysterical or that written like amazingly.
Yeah.
It was another, okay, let's just get a couple random gags in here out of nowhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I did not laugh a lot when I saw this acting challenge. And I don't know if that was the queens or the writing, but I'm leaning towards the writing.
I am too, because I do think that Ella and Kitty, and I think most of them have like good comedic timing for the most part. So I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
meh. It was whatever. It was not anything wild. I was like, but they put another fart joke in there. I'm like, girl, have Michelle say once on this show that she's like, ugh, someone made a fart joke, and then have 30 other episodes based on fart jokes. And Michelle's like, I can't get enough.
Yeah, that was really it for Raw Wars for me. There's been a whole lot of time showing it, so I think that's all. That stood out for me. When they're getting ready for the main stage, they have this big talk about PDA, and Ella and Vanity talks about having PDA with her boyfriend or her husband, I think husband, back at home. When you're in a relationship, are you a PDAer?
Well, luckily I live in a city that's very queer, so I haven't been in a relationship in a while. Drag me. But I never felt like scared to be like holding someone's hand or anything, because I also always present very faggy, normally without an additional person.
Yeah.
So I have not been fearful of that, but I'm not like a, you know, we're hanging out with a bunch of friends and I'm making out with my boyfriend and like in a group setting.
Yeah.
Maybe with a random,
that part.
With a random. I don't do that, but I will with random people at the bar I just meet, though. That's different.
Oh, I didn't do it last time. I'm going to find the video. This is me and Patty, and it's me. I'm pretty sure I have it. What year was this? I need to find this video of Layla McQueen. When I tell y'all, Layla is swallowing this man's face.
Was it 2018?
2018. Oh, there it is. We're going to put this in the thing. I want to show Layla right now. This is Layla. Just, and this man I think they had just stopped making out. But it was just Layla swallowing this man's face. We're gonna put the video in. Y'all gotta see this. I'm gonna send it to Jared. And so Layla is just not for so. Which so with her boyfriend, Layla's like, you know, I think that's weird. But with a stranger.
fully grapefruiting a stranger at the bar in public.
Yeah, I feel the same way about PDA. Like, I grew up in New York City, so it's never been weird to me to hold my boyfriend's hand. That being said, I have dated guys who were in the closet. So that was weird. But I agree, like, going to a party with, like, your partner, or you're at, like, an event with your partner, I'm not into, like, just tonguing the fuck down, unless I'm a little tipsy, whatever. But, yeah, I think that's weird when couples, like, let's say it's, like, a game night, and, like, your boyfriend is there, and some other friends, and y'all still, like, making out. I always think that's weird, so I don't like to do that.
Or, like, you're at a restaurant with your friends, like, you're like, oh, let's, like, go get some food, and you're, like, with your boyfriend, a couple friends, and it's, like, you and the boyfriend are fucking going at it. I'm like, oh, girl, read the room. Read the room.
read the room, Mary. And then also, they talk about drag queen groping. How do I feel about drag queen groping? Yes, I do admit it is a problem, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. Like you're at a bar. You just finished back when I was still doing stuff in New York City. It was very oftentimes, like, I will be at the bar getting a fucking cocktail, doing my fucking job, walking around, be like, hey, make sure you stay for this show, whatever. And someone will be like, oh my God, are those your boobs? They'll touch you, and they'll, like, laugh, and they'll kiki and caca. So it's really interesting to have this conversation on Drag Race, because, I mean, I know it happened to me, and obviously if it happened to me, it happened to others, but I definitely didn't think other people were so conscious about it, which is nice to hear on TV, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those situational things where, like, people just don't have boundaries, especially for, like, a world that they don't understand the ins and outs of. So I feel like a lot of, like, there's always, like, messy fags who do shit like that, like, in the gay bars. But I do feel like it's a lot of, like bachelorette parties or, like, you know, like, drag shows where they're, like, primarily, like, straight events. Like, it's, like, primarily straight people, but they're doing a one-off drag show. I've, like, done a lot of those. Like, I'm not a breastplate queen, but I got one and I wore it for this show and they were just so enamored by my boobs that they basically ripped them out of my outfit because they were touching them so much during my numbers. I'm like, okay.
Oh, God.
Which is like, it is weird. And I'm going to say something kind of like, is it controversial? I don't know. I think on that same wavelength when, like, talking about, like, having boundaries with drag queens, it's hard to talk about it before you get, like, the Drag Race notoriety, but, like, a lot of fans, after you get on Drag Race, they may not physically berate you, but there's a lot of people that they love you, they adore you, and they know you, and they're complete strangers to us, and there's this kind of, like, they demand things of you, of your time and your energy, and expect things from you, and it's not, like, always physical, but it is kind of, like, there is no mental boundary between that. They're like, well, we know you need to be nice to us, you need to give us this, you need to do this. And I think that's kind of on the same realm of, like, being like, I want to do this into you, and I'm gonna touch you, and you're just a drag queen, and I want, like, all these, like, expectations of what they want from this curated moment inside their head.
Yeah. With drag queen groping, kind of going on what you said earlier about the breastplate and, like, being, like, hypersexual, I think I would be, like, in my mind, I would be, like, I guess if I'm, like, looking so sexy, like, if someone wants to, like, I don't know, I was, like, I would be, like, apologetic about it, especially when I first started in drag. Because, again, you don't want to be that bitch causing a stir. But, I'd be, like, ugh, Monet's so extra.
Are you implying that you've just never been extra? Like, you were a subtle drag queen once upon a time?
We had a little brief technical glitcheroo, and Layla McQueen has now gotten her old iPhone slave headphones.
Girl, I made fun of Monet for having corded headphones, and here I am wearing them and trying to also... do we see this knot? I'm hunchback and Notre Dame'd into my goddamn laptop.
Oh my God, you look like those hood bitches on TikTok. You look like hood bitches on TikTok. They'd be like, here are three reasons why monkeys should could beat an alligator in a fight. You're very that.
Drag me.
Let's talk about the lurks. RuPaul Charles. This is not my favorite RuPaul look. And RuPaul has been looking extra stunning lately. This one is not on that list.
Is Zaldi busy? Like, is Zaldi, like, also just getting, like, full Drag Race fatigue at this point? Like, the past two outfits, I've been like, what? What's happening? What's happening, girl?
Yeah. But that being said, you know what? Everyone can have, like, out of us, RuPaul's wearing a lot of drag. He's wearing a lot of looks. So yes. I understand one or two. So the past two have been, you know, subpar. And this one looks like Lala remade it in a challenge, and it's not my favorite. I love you though, Ru. I love you so much.
Drag her. Not it looking like Lala Re glued bags together. You better. Damn.
You know, I gotta tell like it is. Let's go on to Miss Crystal Versace. I love this. Crystal Versace seldom looks bad. This outfit is perfectly made. It's so cool. The geometric shapes in the front, her pairing with the red shawl thing, her hair, her makeup, she looks amazing.
She looks great. I wouldn't be mad if this look was like a little more extravagant, but I do appreciate that it's like so graphic and it looks good. I'm not knocking it at all. I think with Cruella, there's so many options, so you could have gone really crazy, but ultimately she still looks flawless, annoyingly flawless.
Yeah, agreed. On to Miss Ella Vade. Okay, when she was getting... I think, besides the lashes, in my opinion, this is, to me, the prettiest Ella has looked in all season long. Do you agree?
Am I the odd one out that I just didn't love it? I thought it was, I don't know. I think I got it, but I was like, I don't know. Everyone was gagging over it, and I was like, it's a different take, sure. Maybe I hated the drag jewelry in the pants. I thought that, like, the jewels for queens over this, like, very kind of plain outfit, I was like, this is weird. Something is a disconnect for me. For me?
Yeah, I mean, I do like doing this, like, really... like, she's definitely stepping out the box of being avant-garde, doing an Oompa Loompa, and I get, because if y'all don't know, the Oompa Loompas are from Willy Wonka, and they had, a lot of them wore those overalls and, like, those, like, you know, and what, the Willy Wonka's from, like, the 70s, 80s, whatever it was, so I get this, like, this neo-future take on what an Oompa Loompa would wear, and I don't hate it. I think it's cute. Is it my favorite outfit on the runway tonight? No, that would be Christopher Versace, but I think this is cute, and I like that she stepped outside of herself. Ella has... seldom done something like this, really, like, you know, one would call editorial or, dare I say, avant-garde or couture. So I like that she did a spin. I agree. The drag jewelry is not my... I don't like the drag jewelry. I don't like this choker, and I don't like the bracelets. Like, girl, you don't have to put everything on. It should not put that stupid choker on and the bracelets. I would have liked it way more. The drag jewelry cheapened it for me and brought it down, as opposed to it being this fun, quote-unquote, editorial moment.
It just felt like an afterthought. The jewelry was fully like, well, I'm in drag, I have to wear drag jewelry. I'm like, that's not always the case. I just don't think it is. Like, especially when there's nothing else on this outfit is stoned at all, but we're going to wear these giant stones. I was like, okay, I just don't get it.
Agreed. Let's go on to Miss, who is this? Vanity Milan. What are your thoughts about this look, Layla? As being, a black woman, I'm kidding. What do you think about the look, Layla?
No, we're not doing that. I am not playing into that narrative. I am not doing that. No, ma'am. I'm not doing that Michelle on season 3 shit where she says, I'm a black woman trapped inside a white woman's body. I'm not doing all that. We're not participating in that.
Oh my God, I remember that. Ooh, girl, Michelle.
Girl.
Vanity Milan. I get what Vanity was doing, and I know Vanity is really working on a limited budget. That being said, this is obviously supposed to be a nod to Babs, the movie starring Halle Berry, right, back in the day. And this hair is not great. And also, why does she have a silver pouch? Halle Berry notoriously had a gold pouch. She had a gold pouch and a gold tooth, but yet this bitch is adorning herself with silver accessories and a silver bag. Like, little things like that. I'm like, if you're doing it on a budget, fine. But do it on a budget and at least match the original costume. You know what I mean?
It's tough because she just wore such a similar silhouette. Like, she wore...
Yeah.
She just wore the base hair and an orange outfit that was, like, the same silhouette. So it's really tough because it looks so similar to the last one. And also, Simone did do Babs looks, like, very recently before Drag Race UK 3 film. So it's, like, not to compare them, but it is hard to watch a lesser version of something that's been done.
Oh, yeah. Simone is going to be look... Simone is fucking fierce.
Killing it.
Yeah. And this is not a great look for Vanity. But again, I commend her efforts. But it's just, like, at least do, like, at least do the whole thing. Like she should have done it as pants instead of a skirt. Like, I don't understand the choice to kind of do the look but not do it. I don't know. I think she should have just went full throttle and recreate the look, you know? And this is not it for me.
No, not a strong runway for her.
Next up, and last but not least, is Kitty Scott Claus. I think this is cute. It's obviously, this is the dress. If you are a fucking Gen Z, you've probably never seen Titanic. And this is the dress that Rose, aka Kate Winslet, wears when she arrives on the Titanic. And I think this is cute. I don't know why she did the reveal. She should have just come out in this look and make it like a full gown instead of the fucking reveal. The reveal was very necessary, but I love the hat, I love her hair, I love her makeup, and I think she looks pretty.
I like that she switched her hair up. The reveal? What reveal? It looked like a piece of fabric just hanging off that she was like, oh shit, it's gotta get rid of this.
Yeah, agreed.
It seemed like an afterthought.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But who was your favorite look and who was your least favorite look?
My favorite was Crystal's and my least favorite was Vanity's, unfortunately.
Yeah, agreed. Crystal the best, Vanity the worst. You know, Vanity has not had a very strong showing this season in terms of runways, but I do want to, and I know Naomi and I went back and forth about this when she did Watchery, I still want to commend Vanity on being only doing drag for a year and doing the show, making it to the top four. Because I know what it is to get on Drag Race with a limited budget. People will be shocked to see that I spent $6,000 on season 10 and I looked like fucking that. So I know how hard it is. So good for you. But yeah, the runways are not strong. But you know what? She is an all-star. She can come back and be fierce in all-stars and we would all love to see it.
Yeah, I think she's great. And I think there's people love when people get a redemption or can improve from their previous season. Like I enjoy Vanity very much.
Yeah. And that lip sync she did last week, baby, honestly, that was one for the record books, especially for Drag Race UK. It was so good. And
especially for Drag Race UK.
Not us acting like she got eliminated. Oh, my God. I don't mean – Vanity is still fully in the competition. Bitch, Vanity might win.
T, Boots, girl, she's still in the running.
We're like, good for her. You know, she can come back one day, and she'll be fierce and fabulous. But, you know – in the deliberation, RuPaul realizes he's like, you know what, the scripts aren't great, and I was just kind of gagged that RuPaul admitted that. I was like, work. So we're all on the same page, Ru. What's the tea? How are we gonna fix it for next season?
That was a gag. That was a complete gag. She was like, yeah, no, these aren't good. Like, I know the scripts, like, aren't great. I'm like, so we're just acknowledging it but not doing anything about it? Okay, cool. Work.
I know. So we find out at the end when the girls come back. When they come back. In the little untucked moment situation. Not untucked. What am I talking about? Is it called Untucked? No, this doesn't happen. This happens in the show, right? Am I having a stroke? Am I going crazy?
There's like 13 different franchises and seasons. That's like, I don't know. They're not Untucked, you know?
Right. The girls are all like talking about like the bottoms, and You know, it is obvious that the judges are like splitting hairs trying to find the things. Because again, the only person I would say was bad in the challenge, I would say honestly, was Elle of a Day. I could see Elle of a Day being in the bottom, but I don't know if I could just, and I would put Crystal in the bottom because of her struggling to do the challenge. But I don't know if Drag Race ever considers how you do getting there, or if they just only consider the end goal. I've never really quite figured it out. Are they only looking at the final product, or are they looking at Michelle helping you get there in the workroom? You know what I mean?
No, I feel like it's a sliding scale on a case by case basis is how they treat it,
yeah,
for how they judge them for these challenges. Like when they're splitting hairs, it's like, okay, well, you did need a lot of help, but you got there. But it was like, well, you did need a lot of help and your runway isn't that great, so then that goes against you. It's very weird.
They
really love to keep you on your toes and be like, not give you a concise
answer.
RuPaul
said, he was like, RuPaul said, like, they want to peek into their heads, they want to like get inside the girls' heads. And I'm like, I mean, it is a reality show competition, so this should not be surprising that the show is doing this. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you're not there to be comfortable and prepared. I mean, that's just not what Drag Race is.
Right. They want to see you sweat. And that being said, the girls go back to the main stage, and we realize that no, yet again, no one is going home, and no one is in the bottom. At first, when they said Vanity was safe, I was like, what? I was like, this is what I thought was going to happen. I thought he was going to say Vanity was safe. I thought it was going to be a gag, and he was going to send Ella home and have Kitty and Crystal lip sync for the win. I thought it was going to be some other crazy twist. This season of RuPaul's Drag Race UK is so all over the place. I genuinely can never tell. Like, normally I can kind of predict what's going to happen, like watching the episode. I cannot tell what is happening in the show. I feel like I am my Google Maps, I have lost service, I'm in the middle of the woods, I have no Wi-Fi, I have no 5G, and I have no idea what the fuck is going on in this season.
Bitch, they'd be doing shit just to be doing shit. Like, they're just like, no, lip sync for the win. Yeah, no one goes home again. Like, what? Fuck it, why not?
I know. I'm ready for Drag Race UK to be done, and they're just prolonging the process.
I am gagged that it's the top four, and next episode is not even the top four, like top three, top four finale challenge. Like, it's the next episode, there's still another episode, and then the finale. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. And that being said, this lip sync between Kitty and Ella was nothing to shout about. I think it was fine. They both did a great job. I was not gagging at the lip sync. I think the highlight for me was Kitty Scott Claus's crunchy dips. Girls are coming up. I can tell Kitty Scott Claus is not a girl that does dips in her everyday life, where she's like, oh, I'm on Drag Race, I'm gonna pull out these dips, mama. And you know what you did? And they were crunchy as hell, looking crazy.
You're shitting me. You don't think she does those all the time? I was like, the lip sync was like perfectly serviceable, but also completely unnecessary. Just crown Kitty as the winner and pick someone to be in the bottom. Y'all honestly love to do shit like this. I just don't get it.
Since it was a double save, they would have been completely justified in just sending someone home as opposed to having a lip sync for the lip sync for your life, whatever. If they didn't want to put two people in the bottom.
Honestly, I'm with Bob where I'm like, send people home.
Oh, yeah.
Double saving people twice in a season, I'm like, this is not the journey for me. This is really dragging on.
Yeah, I agree. That being said, we still have another episode of Drag Race UK coming out next week. I was so mad watching the trailer for next week. I couldn't even process what it was. It was like some other, it was a comedy challenge. What is it? Oh, yeah, they have to do stand-up.
It's stand-up.
For, like, the previous Eliminated Girls. Right. So, I mean, that'll be interesting because I think the only funny one, well, Ella was funny in Snatch Game. But can Ella do stand-up? I don't know. We about to find out, though.
Can Crystal do stand-up? That's going
to
be...
She might gag us. And I don't think Vanity can either. So this is about to be another crunchy episode next week. I'm going to be so mad sitting there watching it, too. I'm going to be heated, girl.
I hope Kitty kills it, because I'm with you. I'm Team Kitty. I really love her.
She's genuine.
She seems like she's having fun. She's a good time. Honestly, my top three was Kitty, Victoria, and Charity. So I'm like, all right, we're riding the Kitty boat to the end.
Oh, yeah, girl. Not unless Kitty, she slips on a banana peel as part of her bit next week. She busts up her knee, and she has to go home right before the finale. Could you imagine? Plot twist.
Honestly, yes. At this rate, I could. Or she slips, busts her knee, and they say, plot twist, we're sending the rest of the three girls home. Kitty, it's just you, but we have three more episodes to film with you to decide if you're the winner.
Well, Layla, you know what? We made it by hook or by crook. All the odds said that we wouldn't, but we have made it to the end of this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I meant to ask earlier, what would you do for Scene Stealer Runway?
Ooh, Scene Stealer? Scene Stealer, Scene Stealer. I'm trying to think. Do you know what? I would probably do something. This would be avant-garde. People would be like, what the fuck? I would have done something by New York Tiffany Pollard. Maybe I would have done like her blue dress when Pumpkin Gets Eliminated and have like a stoned saliva snot ball on my face.
That'd be good.
Bitch,
that'd be
people
fun.
Would gag. People would gag. Oh, that's a good one. People would gag that. Well, what would you do?
I really like movies. I would really have to like think on it, but my first thoughts, I just saw this person do a Halloween costume like as a meme on Instagram, but they came out as the Showgirls cover of the movie. Like they had like an outfit that was all black and it was just one neck to leg. I think that would be funny to do something like Nomi Malone in the runway, just be really aggressive and crazy on the runway, like her fucking dance moves. I think that would be
that
really
would be
funny.
Great. That's a good one too.
Also, I mean, because RuPaul loves it, like also Mommy Dearest seems like an obvious option of something to do that she would also like.
Yeah.
Playing to the judges.
I would have done, or Janet Jackson for the Super Bowl. And at the end of the runway, I would have revealed my titty at the end.
And what?
Yeah, those are good ones. Oh my God, we would have totally like won this challenge. You know, we would have won challenge, Will.
Girl, the accents this episode, the unprovoked, unadulterated accents this episode.
Layla McQueen, thank you for joining me for Sibling Watchery. This has truly been the longest 2 hours of my life, but I would not, I don't want them back. I'm happy I spent them with you.
I'm very happy to be here and do this. This was so fun.
My dear, I'm sure I'll see you soon. And you be well. Be blessed over in sunny Chicago.
Thank you, Diva. Have fun on your super secret project.
Oh, my God.
Undisclosed location. Undisclosed location. I'm getting some super secret aesthetic work done on a secret project.
Aesthetic procedure. Yes, mama. Goodbye, bitch.
Bye.
Imagine an app designed to make you use it less. Seems counterproductive, right? Well, Apartments.com's instant alert feature works exactly that way. Instead of scanning rental listings a million times a day, simply set and forget your search to whatever you're looking for in the place and let Apartments.com do the rest. From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tool lets you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking is listed. So now you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alert means you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time to do you. Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.